Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we are continuing in our sermon series, and if you notice on your handout, which you have in your bulletin, we're on the third sermon in the series, which may seem odd to probably most of you. What happened to the second one? That was on Ascension Day. So if you weren't here, you missed out on a great riveting sermon. I think it was pretty good. But you missed out on that, but it's okay. You also missed out on chanting. Those that were there, we chanted the whole service. It was fun. Because I'm in charge. So today, to capture that, really to capture the whole series, right? So we owe the world an apology, a reasoned defense of the faith, not because it needs defending, but because people need to hear it. And then we couple that with our witness to the world. We owe the world our witness so that they can see the difference that Christ has made in us and what he's doing in, through, and with us. And so then we come now today on this seventh Sunday in Easter, the final Sunday in the season, where we're going to talk about what we owe to each other. And I'm going to primarily focus on the text from 1 Peter. We'll dip into John's gospel account for just a little bit. But just so that you know where we're going, and I'm jealous of you, Jonathan, because you got to do the last Alleluia, He is risen. You can say it still. But he got to do the last liturgical one, and that was you got that one. That's great. So as I was putting together this sermon and thinking about this text, from 1 Peter and just right out of the gate, talking about suffering and it being a surprise, the first thing I thought about was, for an illustration, was everyone's favorite show about nothing, Seinfeld, right? And if you've seen Seinfeld once, then you've seen the series. Because they made it a plot point that there was no character development throughout the whole series. That was like a point of the whole show. It's really about nothing. But the thing that when I would watch it in the 90s as a teenager, that kind of surprised me every time I saw it, which it shouldn't have because it happened so many times, was Jerry, I've got a great idea. Right? Kramer bursting into the apartment. And if you've seen the show, you know he's going to do it in some way, shape, or form. And it's surprising whenever it happens, but it shouldn't be because it happens so frequently. And as I think about our text, that's what I think about with this as we just right out of the gate. It shouldn't be surprising, but suffering and persecution often surprise the church. Often surprise us, and we're like, what? But I'm a Christian. Why am I suffering? So as you're looking at your handout now, we're right at the beginning of 1 Peter, and the first thing that Peter wants us to know, and the Spirit wants us to know through Peter, is that Christian suffering is not strange. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. So many times people get the wrong idea about Christianity that, oh, as long as I give my heart to Jesus, everything's going to be sunshine, unicorns, and rainbows. And then they're surprised. What do you mean we're suffering? Yeah. That's part of it. Suffering should not be strange to us. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are you when you are persecuted, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you are reviled and they say all kinds of things against you. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. No. Christian suffering is not strange, in part because suffering is universal. Suffering is universal, Peter tells us. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. You see, suffering is universal, but there are different kinds of suffering. We can suffer as Christians. We can be persecuted for the sake of Jesus and for believing, teaching, and confessing that which Jesus has believed, taught, and confessed. And if you don't believe that that still happens today, I assure you it does. And more so than just someone calling you a mean name or not wanting to associate with you. One of the prayers of the church that was handed in today in early service, which Jonathan is going to pray over, was that there were 50 kids that were abducted from a school in Nigeria. And this is a people group that Lynn Frank works with. Persecution for just being a Christian happens. There are still martyrs in the world today. And so there is persecution for being a Christian. There is suffering to go with being numbered with Christ. But there's also another kind of suffering that was mentioned in the children's message in the early service, and it was beautiful, I thought. Out of the mouths of babes, right, comes truth. When Paula asked the kids, what are some burdens that you can carry? And one of the little girls piped up, grief. It's like, wow, even kids get this at a young age. There's grief in this world. There's suffering. There's shame in this world as we confess for the things that we've done that we ought not to have done and the things that we've left undone that we should have. And Peter tells us, let not anyone suffer for being a murderer or a meddler or any of these evil things. But we do suffer for it. We do recognize that it is not right. It grieves our hearts that we as Christians still find ourselves sinning in this world. If we're honest with ourselves, we still fail to do what God has told us to do, and we fail and we do the things that we know we shouldn't do. And so suffering is universal, whether you suffer as a Christian for the sake of the name or whether you suffer with your sins. There is suffering in this world. It's interesting, the last verse of chapter 16 in John's gospel account, right, the very last words before our text for today, Jesus just assures us of suffering because he says, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And so we recognize our suffering, we recognize our grief and our shame and all of the things that weigh us down, the burdens that we have to carry. But thanks be to God that Christian suffering reveals God's glory. Christian suffering reveals God's glory. The beginning of our gospel account. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. And Peter tells us, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Jesus says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. And then he heads straight on a path that leads him to the cross. Don't let that confuse you, because suffering reveals God's glory. You might be tempted to, how does this show God's glory? How does the Lord and giver of life hanging on a cross, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? How does that reveal God's glory? And I'll tell you how it reveals God's glory, because in the cross, God is reconciling man to himself. And in the cross, Jesus comes to us in our hour of need and pours out all of his devotion, all of his obedience to his Father, all of the things that we cannot do for ourselves. God meets us in that moment and comes to us. And then he reconciles us to himself, so that then we can be brought to God the Father. And that is glory. That we who are sinful, we who are bound by sin, bound by the devil, and bound to death, can be reconciled, can be justified before a holy God, can be given eternal life, that the chains of sin and the devil can be and are broken through faith in Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus is on the cross, hanging and bleeding and dying for you, this reveals God's glory and how much he loves you and is willing to go to these lengths to make you his child. And every time you suffer for the sake of the name of Christ, you participate in Christ's suffering. And so you too bring people to Jesus. You too show a loving God who cares for that person. And you bring them a little bit closer to a witness of who God is and who they can be in Christ Jesus. So suffering reveals God's glory. Recognizing that it does this, we can respond to suffering, not in the way that the world responds to it, but we can respond with rejoicing. We can respond with humility, and we can respond in faith. We can respond to suffering with rejoicing, humility, and faith. Peter tells us in verse 13 of our text, "But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." Rejoice in your sufferings, because the glory doesn't end at the cross. The glory continues onward. That is the inbreaking of God's perfect kingdom, the restoration of all things. And when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you believe that his death and resurrection paved the way for you to inherit eternal life, then you get to take part in all of the joy and all of the wonder and all of the splendor of God's very presence with you. You get to take part in the rejoicing of the angels and archangels and the entire company of heaven that lauds and magnifies God's glorious name, evermore praising him and singing forever and ever, "Glory be to our God and to the Lamb who sits on the throne." That is what you get to be a part of. That is your hope and your joy, and for that you can rejoice and be glad even in the suffering, because you know where you're going. You can do this with rejoicing, and you can do this with humility. Peter tells us in verse 6 of chapter 5, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. Jesus, the Lord of all creation, had every right to stop everything that happened to him on that Good Friday, but he didn't. Instead of railing at the people who crucified him, instead of saying, "I'm the Son of God, this is wrong, you should stop, I deserve better," Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do," and humbly submitted to the Father's will. So we who are poor sinners, much in need of God's forgiveness, recognizing that we have received it in Christ, can then humbly suffer alongside our Lord and Savior and be kind to those who persecute us and say, "Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they are doing." And in so doing, there's a chance that God can use that to change their hearts and their minds, to realize the truth of the gospel. So we suffer in humility, and we suffer in faith. I put 1 Peter 5:9, but really we can add 8 to this too. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. We can suffer in faith, knowing that we're not the only ones going through suffering. Our brothers and sisters are doing it too. And we know, we don't need Peter to tell us that the devil is out there prowling around. We already know it from just our daily lives. But Peter encourages us to resist the devil, firm in our faith, knowing that Jesus Christ has overcome all of the assaults of the devil, that by his glorious resurrection, he has made a way through death to life. That ultimately, sin is already defeated. That the devil has already lost. And all that awaits is the day of victory where it will all be consummated. We have faith that because Jesus lives, we too will live. And so as we suffer, we have faith and the certain knowledge of what Jesus has done for us, and that God has honored that, and that we get to take part in it, not because of what we've done, but because of what he has done for us. And because we know that it is temporary. Peter tells us, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to enter his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." I don't know what you're suffering with or for or beside. I don't know how long you've been dealing with it. And I know that it may seem like a long time. The days, the weeks, the months, the years, maybe even the decades that you've suffered either from broken relationships or health issues or whatever it is that you have suffered with. It feels like a long time on this side of eternity. I get it. But in God's economy, in God's timing, all of this suffering in our lives, it's just a little while. It's just a little bit. compared to the eternity that we get to spend with him in the new heavens and the new earth. This is just a little while. And then after we have suffered for a little while, God Almighty himself will strengthen and encourage you and comfort you with his very presence. He's already strengthening and encouraging you with his presence here in this place, even now. That's the beauty of this week between Ascension and Pentecost. In my sermon on Ascension Day, I mentioned that God, Jesus Christ, ascending into heaven doesn't mean that now Jesus is far away from us now, like he's gone somewhere else and we don't have him. No, that just means that he fills all and is in all. It means that the Spirit of Christ is with you and in you. Jesus has promised that wherever two or more are gathered, there he is in their midst. Jesus has promised to be in this Holy Supper, that his body, his real presence, is in with and under the bread and the wine. Jesus has promised to be with us even to the close of the age. Jesus is with us even now. And that's why we come together and worship him and celebrate, recognizing the things that he's doing for us today, right now, and also the hope that we have for eternal life to come. And that at the end of all things, he will bring us to himself in the perfected new heavens and new earth. And that we will live with him in righteousness and innocence and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. And to him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until that day. Thanks be to God. Amen.